First on SociTalks, Dr. Susan Trollinger is an English teacher at the University of Dayton. For more than 15 years, she's been studying tourism in Amish country. Her new book, Selling the Amish, The Tourism of Nostalgia, features some of her research. Today, she gives us a few highlights.
Given all the media attention that the Amish have received in recent decades, I suspect you know something about them. You probably know that they are a plain people who look like they are still living in the 19th century. They dress in old-fashioned clothes. They farm by horse and plow. They light the night with gas-powered lanterns. And they travel by horse-drawn carriage. You probably also know that they are a deeply religious people. They hold four-hour worship services, and they will never raise a hand against another, even in self-defense, because Jesus said that we should love our enemies. Finally, you probably know that they are a communal people. They show this commitment in their uniform dress, and they cultivate it by refusing insurance, relying on one another for help when needed instead. We all know that no one can survive, never mind flourish, in this high-tech and highly competitive world, who is not plugged in and working all the time. Yet the Amish, who do neither, are not just surviving, they're thriving. Today, there are over 250,000 Amish living in North America. And in just the last 2 years, they increased their numbers by 10%. According to the Young Center at Elizabethtown College, in just 20 years, from 1991 to 2010, the Amish doubled their numbers. And they'll do it again, but next time, in just 15 years. How can such a people who don't even drive a car, never mind get on the information superhighway, be doing so well? This is a fascinating question, and it appears that lots of people are looking for the answer. Every year, 19 million people visit Amish country. 11 million go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Another 4 million go to northern Indiana. And still another 4 million visit Ohio's Amish country, which is in northeast Ohio, about 50 miles southwest of Akron. Although tourism in all three of these locations is interesting, I focused my research on Ohio's Amish country, which is home to the largest Amish settlement in the world, with over 260 Amish churches and more than 30,000 Amish people. So, 4 million Americans, most of them middle-class Midwesterners, visit Ohio's Amish country every year. And they presumably make the trip because they find these people who defy all of the wisdom of our culture fascinating. Yet when they arrive in Amish country, what do they find? They find huge hotels that look like the grand Victorian homes of America's 19th century millionaires. They find gift shops filled with exquisite chocolates, beautiful lace tablecloths and curtains, Oriental-style rugs, and porcelain figurines. In short, they find a style of living that at first blush couldn't be farther from the plain and simple life of the Amish. Despite the fact that tourists apparently aren't getting what they come for in Amish country, millions still make the trip. And many make repeated trips. How can this be? To answer this question, I went to Amish country and watched tourists. For about a decade, I watched them and listened to them and sometimes talked with them. I also read a lot about them, and I looked closely at what was being offered to them. I looked at the architecture of the buildings constructed for them and studied the interior decor of those buildings. I studied the merchandise, what was being sold, and how it was displayed. Here is a bit of what I learned. The middle-class Americans who visit Amish country bring with them more than a few questions about the Amish. They come to Amish country with a whole host of concerns about themselves and the world they inhabit. They are concerned about how life is changing and who they are becoming. They have real anxieties about what it means to be a man or a woman in today's world. They struggle with the impact technology is having on their lives, and they worry about time. Always, there seems to be less and less of it. As I studied what Amish country offers its visitors, I came to understand that it doesn't just give them beautiful buildings, tempting trinkets, and fabulous food. While it does all that, it also invites them to enter a world in which idealized memories from the past are transformed into an image of a future in which all of these anxieties and concerns are beautifully resolved. Let me share with you just one example of how this happens in one of the most popular tourist towns in Ohio's Amish country. Walnut Creek, which is a small town in about the middle of Ohio's Amish country, is home to one of the oldest tourist businesses in Ohio's Amish country, their Dutchman restaurant, which specializes in Amish cooking. If you've ever eaten at an Amish-style restaurant, you know what to expect. Large portions of pan-fried chicken, roast beef, baked ham, and smoked sausage, along with real mashed potatoes, chicken noodles, dressing, or what you might call stuffing, and homemade bread. The meal is typically brought to a delectable finish with a serving of one of many freshly made fruit cream or custard pies. No doubt, lots of people come from miles around to eat this food. But is it only about taste? I think there's more to it than that. The food at Der Dutchman is slow food. It's not the fast food of our freezers and microwaves. It can't be produced, served, and eaten in the 45 minutes between arriving home from work and taking the kids to gymnastics and basketball. This food takes time. To make it requires peeling, chopping, basting, roasting, mashing, rolling, and raising. And at Der Dutchman, all of this work is done on site, and much of it by hand. Moreover, this food is slow, not just in its preparation time, but also in the sense that it takes a lot of time to master the techniques needed to make it. Probably each one of the cooks in Der Dutchman's bakery brings decades of experience in rolling out a flaky pie crust or raising up a chewy cinnamon roll. This food isn't just about taste. It's about time. When a visitor to Amish country has dinner at Der Dutchman or other similar restaurants, they're not just consuming a tasty meal. They're also experiencing an idealized memory of the past. There once was a time, so the memory goes, when families gathered at the dinner table every evening to enjoy a meal that took the better part of a day to make and that was prepared by a woman with decades of know-how. That is, they're experiencing not just happy taste buds, but also a happy image of how people used to live when time was abundant. Importantly, Der Dutchman doesn't only sell hot meals. It also sells all of the baked goods, plus the apple butter, various jams, and pickled vegetables made on site. In addition, Der Dutchman sells its own and other Amish-style cookbooks that instruct readers in how to recreate this slow food at home. Thus, Der Dutchman isn't just giving visitors a trip down memory lane. It's also helping them to imagine a future in which slow food and ample time characterize daily life. So, how do the Amish fit in all of this? Of course, it's their cuisine that is being sold. It's also many of their women who cook the food at Der Dutchman. But there's more. I believe that the Amish are crucial not just because their food is featured, but because they embody in really visible ways the notion that it is possible to live differently than most of us do. In a culture that prizes advanced technology and its promises of efficiency, they choose the horse. In a culture that frowns on the fashion of just 6 months ago, they wear the same kinds of clothes they've worn for centuries. In a culture of speed, they are slow. Really slow. If you've ever been caught behind an Amish buggy making its way up one of the beautiful rolling hills of Ohio's Amish country, you know what I mean. The Amish tell us through their food, dress, mode of transportation, and in 100 other ways that we don't have to live as we do. They don't. And that means we don't. Amish country tourism promises that if you buy that loaf of bread or pie or cookbook, you can refashion your life. You can experience a slower pace. Moreover, it makes that promise in the context of the largest Amish settlement in the world. While tourists are hearing that they can slow down, they are also seeing the Amish who have done just that. What is so fun about touring Amish country is that the Amish make the promises of Amish country tourism seem real. Buy this cookbook and you really can change your life. Importantly, in order for the Amish to make these promises seem viable, the Amish have to be, well, Amish, which is to say, strange. And as they pull their steel-wheeled hay balers through their fields or walk about town in their long-sleeved dresses and black stockings on hot summer afternoons, or spend the better part of the day just driving home from the store? They also pose a question. To tourists who want more time, they ask, are you up to it? The Amish show visitors that it can be done. That's the fun part of visiting Amish country. But they also show visitors that to do it requires a lot more than a loaf of bread, a pie, or a cookbook. Are visitors to Amish country willing to make the changes that they would have to make to really slow down the pace of life? That's a great question. Studying tourism in Amish country has helped me ask questions like these of myself. If you haven't been to Amish country, I hope you'll go. If you have been there before, I hope you'll go again. Either way, I hope you will listen carefully and consider seriously the questions that Amish life poses to folks like you and me. Thank you.
Dr. Susan Trollinger, her new book is Selling the Amish, The Tourism of Nostalgia. So She Talks is a program designed to enlighten the world with knowledge from primarily institutions of higher education in Southwest Ohio. You're listening to WISO Weekend on WYSO.